What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. So really quickly, just to introduce this episode. So this episode this week or today is going to be a continuation of a previous episode that I launched last week. So this episode is going to be a continuation of episode 130. And the title of episode 130 is How Yo-Yo Dieting Makes You Quote Unquote Fatter. So how do these crazy crash diets that a lot of people end up going on, knowingly or unknowingly, how do those diets make us gain body fat over a period of time instead of lose the body fat that we want? So that's what I went over in episode 130. This week or today, episode 132 is going to be kind of a continuation of that, where I'm going to talk about how we reverse these negative adaptations that build up over time from these crash diets or these low calorie diets that we might have been on. So that episode 130, I talked all about, you know, how those diets make us fatter, how they cause our metabolism to slow down and have these kind of negative adaptations take place. So this week, I'm going to dive into how to reverse that. So just wanted to provide some context on this episode before we dive in, but let's go ahead and get started. Okay, cool. We are live. So last week, we talked about why all of your previous diets have failed and kind of went over the process as far as how that happens. And just a quick refresher on how that happens and how we even get to this point in general. So what we talked about last week was how so many of you are so used to trying these really restrictive diets where you're bringing calories down to 1200 per day. Maybe you're cutting out all carbohydrates from your diet. Maybe you are going on keto. Maybe you're doing intermittent fasting. Maybe you're doing just some other kind of extreme diet, Optavia, whatever it is, where you're indirectly bringing your calories down far too low. And you're bringing your calories down to something that's really extreme, really unsustainable. And it sounds like a good idea in the short term because you don't necessarily know how extreme it is unless maybe you're actually actively tracking it. But what happens is you maybe lose a little bit of weight in the short term, but a lot of that weight is actually water weight. And your hunger cues end up really skyrocketing and your hunger really increases to where it becomes just really unbearable to continue to do that same diet over and over and over, day in and day out, and be consistent with it. So then the weekend comes and you know you're hangry, you're irritable, you're sluggish, you're feeling low energy. Maybe you haven't even seen that much of a drop on the scale, and you're like, okay, I'm restricting myself, I'm doing all these things, I'm also exercising like crazy, I've worked out 5 or 6 days this week already, nothing's working, I feel like crap, I can't even sleep that well. You know, this is unsustainable, and you end up binging over the weekend or maybe on a random weekday and end up gaining that weight back and putting on potentially new fat cells, right? That was something we talked about last week. If you didn't watch last week's video, definitely go give that a watch. But is that this kind of restrict binge cycle not only leads to you gaining more weight over time, but it also can lead to you gaining more fat cells or new fat cells. And that's something that our body actually doesn't do that often, like put on new fat cells. Usually the fat cells we have just end up increasing in size. But when you go through this cycle of really restricting yourself and then all of a sudden binging and way overdoing it on the food and the calories, then you end up potentially gaining new fat cells. So let's dive into a little bit extra of the science, you know, with all this. So you have two main hormones in the body that control your hunger. So there are more than two, but these two that I'm going to talk about are probably the ones that have the biggest impact on things. So the two hormones that really impact hunger and maintaining our body fat set point are ghrelin and leptin. So ghrelin is the hormone that makes us hungry. Some people kind of remember this back in school when I was learning this, that ghrelin kind of acts like little gremlins inside of your body that are telling you to eat. So if you want to try to remember it that way, that's one way you can remember it. Or you could think about ghrelin is the hormone that makes you hungry. So it makes your stomach growl. So it has that, you know, GR sound to it. So GR sound equals ghrelin. So ghrelin is a hormone that increases our hunger. Leptin is the other hormone that I just mentioned. Leptin is a hormone in the body that helps us to feel full and satisfied. So when you're dieting and you're under eating, our leptin levels decrease. So you're eating less calories than what you burn. You're losing a little bit of body fat. So our leptin levels decrease. So our fullness actually decreases. And during the same exact time as you're eating less calories or you're going on a super restrictive diet or you're losing weight, our ghrelin then, the hormone that makes us hungry, ends up increasing. And you end up feeling hungrier. And this gets worse and worse and worse the longer you have been dieting for. So if you've been doing this restrictive diet for a few days, ghrelin starts to increase a little bit, leptin decreases. If you've been doing this restrictive diet for a week or two, ghrelin increases even more and leptin decreases even more. So these things get worse or end up going in those opposite directions the longer you've been in this restrictive diet for. And that's why sometimes, you know, you do it for 1 to 2 weeks or multiple days and all these things just build up over, you know, that period of time. And then all of a sudden you just kind of snap once your ghrelin levels or your hunger levels get way up here. So for those of you who have been dieting for on and off for extended periods of time, this gets even greater, right? And as leptin, you know, the hormone that increases our fullness, as that hormone decreases, our cravings then increase. So it's kind of like this seesaw effect where, you know, when leptin goes down, ghrelin is going to go up to make us hungrier. When leptin increases to make us full, ghrelin is also going to decrease so we're not as hungry. And we also not only start craving just more food in general, we start to crave more food that is super high in calories. So things like fast food, cookies, donuts, these are also foods that tend to be really highly processed, foods that tend to have a high palatability, which basically means they taste really good. They're really easy to overeat. They are very soft in the mouth. They maybe melt in the mouth a little bit. They're really, they have a good mouthfeel. So what that means is it feels good to eat them, right? Think about eating something like almonds, really hard, crunchy, a little bit harder to eat and chew versus like a chocolate chip cookie right out of the oven, warm, basically just slowly breaks apart. You can hold one end of the chocolate chip cookie and then the other end will just start to like break off and fall on its own. Those are the foods that we're talking about that we end up craving even more when our leptin really decreases and our ghrelin really increases. And like this is an actual physiological process that happens in the body. And also the longer we diet or the longer we're on these restrictive diets, another hormone in the body increases, which is cortisol, which cortisol you've probably heard of is our quote unquote stress hormone. So when this happens, we actually tend to, if we are in a deficit or in an extreme diet for a long period of time, we actually can start to feel some feelings of feeling a little bit more irritable, a little bit more anxious, a little bit more on edge. And that's kind of all revolving around that stress hormone too. So now we have this high hunger and we also have this high stress at the same time due to this constant dieting that we're doing, which is, you know, already in itself a perfect storm of overeating since so many people tend to be kind of stress eaters too. But then on top of that, because we're really restricting our calories and we're eating maybe 1,000 calories, 1,200 calories a day, and either we're tracking that number because my fitness pal told us to, which is garbage, but we're just following that because we just don't really know better, or we're eating 1,000 calories or 1,200 a day and we just don't know it because we're doing something extreme, like I said, keto, Optavia, intermittent fasting, we're not actually tracking our intake. So we're eating this super low amount of calories, and because we're eating such a low amount, our metabolism starts to adapt a little bit to that too, and it starts to slow down a little bit. And now you have your, because your stress is so high, your sleep quality also starts to go down. I'm sure, you know, all of us have probably tried to sleep at some point laying in bed, super anxious or stressed about something going on in your life. And it's felt almost impossible to actually fall asleep and get good quality of sleep. Or maybe you're falling asleep and you're tossing and turning throughout the entire night. So your stress hormone is up. So you're sleeping less, whether it's less quality sleep, or you're sleeping, less duration of sleep, or you're sleeping the same duration, but it's less quality of sleep. And now that sleep also, when we get a low amount of sleep or we get low quality of sleep, that in and of itself, regardless of these other factors, also contributes to our hunger or ghrelin increasing, and it also contributes to our stress hormones being even higher. So now we're in the spot where we're eating super low calories, which is causing our hunger to increase and our fullness to decrease. It's also causing our stress to be higher. And then on top of that, our sleep is suffering because our stress is higher, which then contributes to our stress being even higher after like not having good quality sleep. So it's like this cycle that just keeps going over and over and over, to where our body then is in the state where your hunger is high, your stress is high, your metabolism is slowed down, you're irritable, you're moody, you're getting poor sleep, your sex drive is down, energy levels are down, and you're more on edge and you feel snappy towards people more because of all of these variables. But then on top of that, you're not getting the results that you want either. So all these things are the result of chronic dieting and underfueling and undereating for either a long period of time or doing it like for short bursts of time, just extremely often. So hopefully, you know, when you're listening to this or watching this, you're having this kind of aha moment of, okay, like this sounds exactly like things that I've tried or the things that I've experienced in the past. And it makes sense why I've been dealing with all of these feelings. And, you know, maybe you've chalked all these things up to it just being normal for you that, you know, whenever you go into a diet, whenever you try to lose fat, it's always going to feel this miserable for you. But those things aren't normal. It's not normal to experience that. You can lose body fat and lose weight without dealing with that vicious cycle over and over and over. Sure, you know, when we go into a fat loss phase, hunger might increase a little bit, but it shouldn't be this extreme and it shouldn't impact all these areas of your life so much. You know, if I'm painting this picture, I want you to think about, you know, how long you've been struggling with these types of symptoms or feelings too. Because, you know, if you are, your body is kind of in this state of survival or protection mode. And it feels like, you know, if you're in this state, it feels like every time you diet too, things just get harder and harder and harder. And these symptoms get even more extreme every single time you try to diet, you know, onward. And you're not crazy. I know you might be thinking like, am I actually crazy? Like, is dieting really supposed to feel this hard? And am I imagining this? But you're not. You're not imagining it at all. Like, all these things are actually very real and do happen for so many of you who've been trying to diet for so long. But the thing is that if you keep going back to these really extreme methods to try to lose weight, you're going to just keep exacerbating this process, exacerbating these symptoms more and more and more and making them worse. And, you know, I feel like every time I talk with somebody who's done this multiple times too, every time they try it again, they try that keto diet again, they're like, oh, I can actually stick to it this time. I just got to be more disciplined. And they don't end up doing it, then they feel like a failure. And they feel like, you know, there's no way that they're going to be able to get in better shape or lose the weight. And that's not a way to live, to just have this feeling of failure or feeling like you're stuck and feeling like you actually don't have control over your body and health when you really do. So now what, right? If this sounds just like you and you've been experiencing these things, trying to lose weight, what do we do from here? How are we going to get out of this mess going forward? And what are we going to do to reverse these negative symptoms or adaptations that have built up over a long period of time from all these previous diets you've done? Now, in order to lose the weight successfully, you have to start by fixing these adaptations, right? These adaptations have built up over a long period of time. You can't just keep trying to push into a fat loss phase or push into another extreme diet without fixing these things, or it's never going to work. So that's number one. We have to reverse these negative adaptations. But the thing is, how do we do that? So this is where I'm going to dive into what this first phase of my coaching looks like for a lot of people, especially a lot of women that come into the program when they have been under eating. And that is what I call kind of the priming phase of my programs, the first program that our first program, the first phase that I take clients through to reverse some of these negative adaptations. But also I'm going to talk about how we prevent these negative adaptations from happening once we go into a fat loss phase, right? Because you might be thinking, okay, we reverse these, but then if we go into a fat loss phase and bring my calories down, then these adaptations are just going to come back. Not necessarily. There's a way to go about it to where these adaptations don't build up over time, which I'll talk about too. But if all you know from previous diets, from previous attempts to lose weight is just constantly restricting yourself, constantly cutting things out, then you probably don't know how to reverse these negative adaptations and get your metabolism in your body to a healthy place where it actually feels quote unquote safe to respond to fat loss best. So how do we do this? The number one thing that we need to do is we need to accept and be okay with and start eating more. And this, I know, sounds like really backwards, but if you're somebody who has these negative adaptations that have built up and every time you attempt to lose weight or lose fat, you feel all those symptoms that I talked about come back, then we need to focus on bringing calories up first, which can be really scary because you've been told for so long to do the opposite, right? To always decrease calories, eat less, move more, which is true to an extent. But if you're somebody who's dealt with these symptoms over and over and over, then that solution in the short term might work, but in the long term, probably not. And I think I speak for, you know, all of my clients with just how much better you start to actually feel as you start eating more. So things we start looking for in this first phase as we bring your calories up are better sleep, more energy, less irritable, better performance in your workouts, feeling stronger, better digestion, less stress. All these things are things that my clients report to me, especially when we're in that first priming phase of building their calories up. And these are all things that we considered quote unquote biofeedback, meaning feedback that the body is giving us, telling us, okay, this is how my body is responding to this calorie intake, this amount of food. And it gives us signals or signs as far as if this phase is successful or not with the purpose of building your calories up, getting your body to a kind of healthy, safe space to lose body fat. So once we get your body to where it should be as far as eating the right amount of calories, then your body will not feel like it's in as much of a stress state, and it will actually respond to fat loss a little bit better. It won't feel like it's being starved all the time. It doesn't feel threatened, so it's almost, in a simple sense, quote-unquote, open to losing fat again. So how do we do this? Step one is we have to find out where you're currently at. So we need to know how many calories you are currently eating. We need to do a self-assessment of what your current eating habits are like, and we need to really be honest with ourselves here. We need to make sure that we are really tracking everything this first week, figuring out, okay, are we eating 1,200, 1,300 calories a day, 1,000 calories a day, or are we maybe overeating? And I'll tell you from the 3 years I've been a full-time coach and the 7 years I've been coaching women in general, most women come to me under eating, whether it's they're constantly under eating for months and weeks on end, or they're severely under eating every time they try to go on a diet and that causes them to then binge on the weekends. But there's some kind of concept of them under eating, and that's why, you know, they're having these symptoms and having so much trouble with losing the fat long term. So we have all of our clients do this the very first week. And then the step two of this process is finding out where your calories should be at, meaning how many calories per day should your body be burning if it wasn't dealing with these negative adaptations or wasn't dealing with your metabolism being slowed down at all. And there's multiple equations you can use to calculate this. What this is called is calculating your TDEE, which is your total daily energy expenditure. I use what's called the Mifflin St. George equation. There are multiple equations. None of these equations are going to be perfect. None of these equations are going to give you a specific number that is going to be on the dot all the time. So it really doesn't matter what equations you use, really. You just have to realize it's a rough estimate of where your calories should be at. And you should be able to eat this amount, maintain your weight, have high energy, feel low stress, perform well in the gym, and If you're able to do those things, eat that amount, maintain your weight, and have all those feelings, reverse those negative symptoms that you were having, then that tells us, okay, your body has like a green light to enter a fat loss phase. So now that we know where you're currently at from you tracking your food your first week, and then we know where you should be at as far as how many calories you should be burning per day or how many calories you should be eating to be in an optimal space or optimal place to lose body fat, what do we do from here? Do we need to make a big jump and just go right up there? Like, for example, if you're tracking your food intake and you currently eat 1,200 calories a day, but you put your stats into this calculator and it says you should be eating 2,200 calories to maintain your weight, do we just automatically make that 1,000 calorie jump and go up to 2,200? You can, but you probably won't feel that great. You probably will feel uncomfortable doing that. You probably will feel a lot of bloating, digestion issues, maybe even sleep problems from doing that, just from just having so much more food in your system, because your body's not used to digesting and absorbing and going through that amount of food, that amount of calories in one given day if you have been eating 1,200 consistently. So you'll probably also, if you just jump straight up to that number, we'll probably have a little bit of extra weight or fat gain during the process too, because we kind of mentioned if you've been eating 1,200 calories and you should be burning 2,200, your metabolism has slowed down a little bit. So maybe you're only burning 1,900 per day instead of the 2,200 that you think. So if you jump straight up to 2,200, your body almost doesn't have a chance to adapt to that higher calorie number fast enough. And you could end up gaining weight then from those extra 300 calories since you actually aren't burning 2,200 like this equation says. So because of that, we want to do small increases to your calories. And that allows your body to adapt as we increase them. So instead of going from 1,200 to maybe 2,200, maybe we'll go up to 1,400 instead. Do that for a week. And then the next week, maybe we'll go up to 1,600. Do that for a week. Maybe the next week, we'll go up to 1,800. And then maybe that 1,800 mark, you're like, hey, like, I'm feeling like this is kind of a lot of food. I'm feeling a little bit bloated. I feel like digestion isn't good. So maybe we just hold steady there and we don't increase from there. Maybe we go 2 weeks eating 1,800. And this is where the process of having a coach is so helpful, because you can report this biofeedback of how you're feeling, and then your coach can assess it with all the knowledge they have, all the experience and stuff, and determine, okay, like, let's just keep things the same this week and let's just not push more food this week, because your body's telling us, hey, it's kind of pushing that limit a little bit. My body isn't quite adapted to that yet. Let me not make a jump this week. So that's why having a coach can be so important, because doing this type of stuff, making these adjustments week to week and being able to be objective with yourself is really hard, especially if you aren't a registered dietitian and don't have all this previous knowledge. But maybe that week we keep things the same then. And then the next week we go up to maybe 1875, just a 75 calorie increase, since your body kind of told us that it didn't really like that big increase before. And then the next week, maybe we go up by 75 calories and so on. But we want to make smaller jumps and smaller increases to that number. That way your body has time to adjust as far as digestion. Also mentally, you have some time to adjust to eating that amount of food too. Practically with your habits, you have time to adjust to eating that larger amount of food as well. But also it can prevent unwanted fat gain when you do it slower, because if you just jump all the way up to 2,200, like I said, it might put you in a calorie surplus and you not know it because of your metabolism being slowed down a little bit. And then you might actually gain some body fat. But if you do it slower, your body has some time to kind of ramp up its metabolism a little bit as you increase calories. So then you don't gain that extra body fat. Now, obviously, if you go further past that 2,200 mark, in this example, you will eventually probably start to, gain some body fat. Like, your metabolism won't just keep adjusting forever. But there is a little bit of a window there where it can adjust. And if we increase your calories at the right pace based off of that biofeedback, we can prevent that little bit of fat gain from happening. Another reason why, having a coach can be so helpful during this process too is because we have to make sure we follow through with the process too. Because during this period of increasing your calories, it's really easy to feel uncomfortable. It's really easy to feel like, oh, this is a lot of food. I'm feeling more full than I usually do throughout the day. I feel like I'm overeating, when a lot of those subjective feelings of feeling more full isn't actually fat gain. It's just, you just have more food moving around in your digestive tract at any given time. And if you are doing this process on your own, it is very easy to trick yourself into thinking that you're gaining body fat and be like, okay, this is too much food for me. You know, I know what Joey says, but this is just way too much for me. I need to cut calories back again. And it's really easy to end up self-sabotaging yourself and continuously cutting calories back over and over and over. When you start to feel a little bit uncomfortable, or maybe you just have like one day where you're feeling a little bit more bloated because you're on your period or whatever reason, and it's really easy to, you know, slash calories again, to revert back to what feels safe to you, right? Because even if slashing calories, eating super low amounts of food is something that overall has been kind of damaging to your body, if it's what you're used to and you're comfortable with, you're going to resort back to that when you start to feel a little bit uncomfortable, or you start to jump a little bit out of your comfort zone by eating a little bit more. So having a coach is like, I can't explain how important it is during this process to keep you reeled in and to keep you from, you know, sabotaging yourself. And I even experienced this in the past with myself, with having a coach with like my powerlifting, my workouts and all this. Like, I'll have a day where maybe one day I don't feel as strong and I'm like, oh shoot, things aren't working. I need to change up my whole entire program, and I mess everything up, right? Same thing goes with this. If you have one or two days where you're feeling like, oh, like maybe this is too much food for me, if you have a coach, you know, that it's educated, that is there to support you, that is walking you through this, you can trust in them that they're going to make the right decision for you, and you're less likely to self-sabotage yourself. So just wanted to point that out too, and just, you know, give you a reminder on that. You know, I could tell you too, from a lot of the clients that I've worked with, and maybe nearly every client that I've worked with, probably 100% of them, if I were to ask them, if they were on their own going through this process and getting their food intake up, would they have stopped early? Would they have gotten to maybe 1900 instead of that 2200 calorie mark? And we're like, you know what? That's close enough. Like, my calories are high enough. I'm almost at 2200. I'm just going to jump into a fat loss phase a little bit early. I can tell you probably 99% of my clients would have done that on their own. And they would have been shooting themselves in the foot, because they would have been starting a fat loss phase before getting their, you know, metabolism adapted to the 2200 mark. And then they would have had to diet, or would have had to go into a fat loss phase eating less, right? If we get your calories up to 2200 and your metabolism adjusts to that, we might be able to lose fat on 1700 calories easily. But if you only take the time to go up to 1900 and your metabolism only adapts to 1900, you might have to eat 1400 to lose the same amount of fat that you could have eaten maybe 1600 or 1700 on. So by really following through the process, going the full distance, not half-assing this phase, you're able to really get the most out of it and really set yourself up for a really successful fat loss phase, where your calories don't have to be as low in order to do that, which is then going to make your fat loss phase far more enjoyable, far more sustainable. And it's not going to feel as miserable trying to lose that weight. And also too, a lot of these negative adaptations come from eating a low amount of food are not going to happen as strongly, because you don't have to eat a super low amount of food to lose the weight anymore. So that's how we reverse that process, is we slowly bring your calories up, allow your body and metabolism to adapt to that as we, you know, go forward. So now when we go into a fat loss phase, what do we do here, right? How do we prevent these negative adaptations from building up once we go into a fat loss phase? One might say, well, obviously, we want to do it in a sustainable way. And that's number one. We want to make sure that we are losing the weight or losing the body fat in a really realistic timeline. A lot of people go into weight loss phases, diet phases, and they want to lose weight like super quickly. They want to lose a couple pounds a week, 3 pounds a week, 5 pounds a week. And that's just not sustainable. The sustainable rate of fat loss when it comes to keeping it off long-term is around 0.5 to maybe up to 1% of your body weight per week. So that means if you're 200 pounds, that's losing anywhere from 1 to 2 pounds on average per week of body fat. Now, actual body weight is a little bit different because that comes into play, like water weight fluctuations, but actual body fat, that's the amount of fat tissue we want to aim to lose per week for it to be sustainable. So 0.5 to 1% of your body weight per week. And honestly, 0.5% is far more sustainable in my opinion. 1% is on the very extreme end and very high. And that's probably for people who are maybe well over 300 pounds, sticking around the 0.5% of your body weight per week is far more realistic. So if you're losing, or if you're 200 pounds, that's about 1 pound on average per week of fat we want to lose. So that's number one, is making sure that we are losing it at a healthy, maintainable, sustainable rate. Number two, and one of the more important factors as well, is, and this is one of the core principles that I utilize with my coaching, and I 100% believe this is why the clients that I work with end up being so successful with losing the weight, not feeling miserable throughout the process, and also being able to keep it off long term. And that is by constantly, every so often, bringing calories up, implementing what I call diet breaks or maintenance phases in order to clean up these negative adaptations that build up. Because not only do those negative adaptations with our hunger, with our metabolism slowing down, all those things, not only do they build up from the extreme diets of eating, you know, 1,000 calories a day, 1,200 calories a day, but they also build up from trying to lose the weight too quickly. But number three is they also build up by just being in any kind of calorie deficit for too long, even if you do it at a sustainable pace. So even if you aim for that 0.5% of your body weight loss per week, these negative adaptations of feeling hungrier, your metabolism slowing down a little bit, feeling a little bit more sluggish, a little bit more irritable, poor sleep, those things can even build up over time, even if you do it sustainably. And if you do it long enough, if you are in a fat loss phase for maybe 6 weeks and you do it in a sustainable pace, 0.5% of your body weight per week, you probably won't see a lot of these negative adaptations build up. But if you are somebody who wants to lose 25 pounds, and let's say you want to lose roughly 1 pound on average per week, like that example I gave, that's 25 weeks straight of being in a fat loss phase and having calories lower. Every single day, that's every single day of you eating roughly 500 calories less than what you burn. And that's a sustainable deficit in the short term. But in the long term, in my opinion, from all these years I've worked with clients and what I've seen work the best, is we cannot be in a calorie deficit for 25 weeks straight. We cannot be in this fat loss phase for 25 weeks straight, or those negative adaptations will build up and you are going to eventually end up cracking and eventually end up gaining that weight back. So how do we prevent these negative adaptations from building up then? Well, we do something a little bit similar to the priming phase almost, but we can do it in a shorter period of time by implementing these diet breaks or maintenance phases and building calories up. So what we can do is found this works really well with clients, is every roughly 8 to 12 weeks, maybe even 6 to 12 weeks, depending on how lean the person is starting with. Every 8 to 12 weeks, we bring calories up a little bit and then eventually bring it up to maintenance for 2 weeks. So what this looks like is a client is in a fat loss phase for 8 weeks. They've lost roughly 8 pounds of body fat on average. What we do then is we bring calories up by maybe 250 their first week of their quote unquote diet break or maintenance phase, and let their body adapt to that increase in calories. And then the next week of their diet break or maintenance phase, we bring their calories up by another 250 calories. We're back. But so the first week of the diet break, we will bring calories up to around 250 calories higher than what they were losing fat on. So let's say if somebody was in a fat loss phase eating 1,600 calories per day, that was the right amount for them, and they're losing roughly 1 pound of fat on average per week. The first week, of the diet break or the maintenance phase, we will bring their calories up to maybe 1750, maybe 1850, somewhere around there by a couple hundred. Let their body adapt to that couple hundred calorie increase. And then the second week of the diet break or maintenance phase, we will bring calories up by another couple hundred, maybe 250. And then that second jump will bring them back up to where their maintenance calories would be. And what this does is it allows your body to adapt back up to maintenance. So then when we go back into another 8 weeks of a fat loss phase, you don't have to bring your calories lower, right? A lot of people start to kind of experience these plateaus in their fat loss after 8 to 10 weeks or so of dieting. And that's because of their metabolism adjusting a little bit to that calorie deficit that they were in. And a lot of times when people do that, they think, okay, well, now I need to do more exercise, or I need to decrease my calories more to basically break out of that plateau. But instead, what we do and what I implement with clients is, instead of doing more exercise or bringing calories lower and doing a bigger calorie deficit, instead, we actually bring calories up. And we do this to give your body a little bit of a reset, almost the same process or the same purpose as that priming phase did, which is to reverse those negative adaptations that are building up. But because we went through that priming phase first, we can do this diet break or maintenance phase and reverse these negative adaptations so much quicker, right? In just a 2 week span, because we took the time initially before we jumped into a fat loss phase to build those calories up first. So that is one of the biggest benefits too of doing this priming phase first, is not only do you reverse these negative adaptations because you have to in order to have a successful fat loss phase, but then the next time you go into a fat loss phase and the next time you do decide to go back into maintenance or go into a diet break, you can make bigger jumps to your calories and your body will adapt to those higher calories quicker, because you've kind of already established that like higher baseline of food intake before jumping into the fat loss phase just 8 weeks ago, let's say. So that is how we prevent these negative adaptations from building up, is every 8 weeks, sometimes it's 10 weeks, sometimes it's even 12 weeks. Usually clients don't go past 12 weeks of being in a fat loss phase unless their body is just like really responding well and they're not feeling burnt out or hungry at all. But most of the time by the 12-week mark, we implement some kind of diet break or maintenance phase to build their calories up. Again, to bring their metabolism back up, to reverse these negative adaptations. And this also works really well too, because we can strategically implement a lot of these diet breaks in these phases with vacations you might have coming up. If you're a client who, you know, you're traveling and going on a trip, you know, at some point, you know, in a few weeks, we can line that up with a diet break or maintenance phase. So not only are we building your calories up, so then you'll actually respond to fat loss in your next fat loss phase better, not only are we reversing some of these negative adaptations of your hunger building up, but we also are bringing your calories up at the perfect time that you want to have more calories available to you when you're on a trip. And then you can be a little bit more flexible with your tracking too, because you have more calories to work with and don't feel like you have to stick to this fat loss phase diet necessarily while you're on vacation or while you have these celebrations coming up. And that also makes the process so much more sustainable for you as well, is implementing these diet breaks, maintenance phases strategically, having a coach to help kind of plan these things, have these things on the radar so they can set you up to where, oh, you know, you've been in a fat loss phase for 8 weeks now, perfect time to implement a diet break right when you're, you know, going to Cancun this week or whatever it is. And it's almost like this. Think about these two scenarios. One scenario is somebody who decides they want to lose 25 pounds in 25 weeks straight and they don't want to implement any diet breaks or maintenance phases at all. That person might end up getting to that goal, but they're going to have this huge mess at the end of their hunger is going to be really high. They're going to be more sluggish. Their metabolism is going to be slowed down a little bit. They're going to feel a little bit more irritable. Their sleep probably isn't going to be good. And they're going to be faced then with this task of, okay, I lost the 25 pounds, finally hit the finish line. Now, how in the world do I maintain this weight? And that's one of the biggest issues I see too, is people losing the weight, but not knowing how to actually keep it off long term. Like seriously, if you're watching this, how many times have you lost 10 pounds, 15 pounds, 20 pounds even, maybe even more, and now you find yourself in this position of you either gained a big portion of that weight back or maybe even all of it back. probably a lot of you. So being able to maintain the weight long term and keep it off and learning how that actually feels to eat at maintenance to keep that weight off is one of the biggest struggles I see. And when we implement these diet breaks and maintenance phases along the way, you not only can reverse these negative adaptations of your metabolism slowing down, you can reverse these negative adaptations of hunger increasing, of poor sleep, all this stuff. Not only can you do that, you can also give yourself flexibility to enjoy vacations, trips, celebrations guilt-free because your calories are kind of going up at that time anyway. But also, you can learn how to maintain your weight along the way. So instead of losing 25 pounds in 25 straight weeks and then being faced with this huge task of how in the world am I going to maintain this long term, we lose 8 to 10 pounds over a span of roughly 8 to 10 weeks. And then we go into a diet break or maintenance phase and maintain it for a couple of weeks. And we feel and learn what it feels like to eat at maintenance calories and keep that weight off for 1 to 2 weeks. And we learn how to incorporate this new body weight or body fat set point into our lives, into our hunger, into our food intake for that 2 week period. And we're like, okay, like I lost 8 to 10 pounds and I actually maintained it for 2 weeks straight. And it was pretty easy, honestly. Like I feel good about this. And then you go into another 8 to 10 week fat loss phase, lose another 8 to 10 pounds, go into another diet break, learn how to keep that off. And then every time you go into a maintenance phase or diet break and you're quote unquote learning how to keep the weight off and maintain your weight during that period, you're only really having to relearn how to maintain your new 8 to 10 pound weight loss versus having to maintain your entire 25 pound weight loss, right? The scenario with the diet breaks and the maintenance phases along the way feels far less overwhelming because you aren't faced with this huge task of, oh, how do I maintain my 25 pound weight loss at the end? Because once you've gotten to the end, if you implement the diet breaks and maintenance phases along the way, you already know what it feels like and have learned how to maintain your first 8 pounds, how to maintain your first 16 pounds or your second 8 pounds, how to maintain your 24 pound weight loss or your next 8 pound cycle. You're learning how to maintain it along the way, which not only physically allows your body to kind of settle into its set point better, but also psychologically, it helps to where it doesn't feel like such a big burden of, okay, now I've lost 25 pounds, now I've even lost 50 pounds, how do I maintain it from here? It's not that hard or difficult to do because you've maintained it along the way in smaller steps. It's almost like if you waited to, let's say you didn't have a dishwasher and you waited to do the dishes until the end of the week, every single week. So all these dishes just kept piling up. That Sunday, when you go to do your dishes, it's probably gonna feel really overwhelming trying to clean up that whole entire mess versus if, let's say, every day you cleaned your dishes at the end of the day and you just had to clean up a few dishes each night. That feels far less overwhelming. And then you get to Sunday and you still just have just a few dishes of just Sunday's dishes to clean up versus all of them. So that is how we prevent these negative adaptations from building up, is by implementing these diet breaks and maintenance phases along the way, which is exactly what I do with my clients. And then when you're done losing the weight, you're not faced with this huge burden of, okay, how do I maintain all this now? Because you've learned how to maintain it along the way. You've kept your metabolism high along the way. You didn't resort to these crash diets and extremely restrictive means, whether it's by doing a ton of exercise or bringing your calories way down to lose the weight. So it is much easier on the body and it's much easier psychologically to keep it off. So hopefully all of this makes sense. I'm going to wrap this up here, but that is how we reverse those negative adaptations that have probably built up in you. If you're somebody who has tried losing weight over and over and over and has constantly kind of weight cycled or lost the weight and gained it back. And that's also how, in our program, how we keep that from happening throughout the process. So hopefully this was informative. Definitely let me know if you have any additional comments, from this video in the comments. But like I said, if you want to apply to win one of the spots for the $10,000 off of one-on-one coaching, the $10,000 coaching scholarship, comment me below and I will make sure you get the application. Applications close this Sunday, March 31st at midnight. And like I said, whoever refers the most amount of people to fill out the application will win a $75 gift card. So if you want to win some extra money while also getting the chance to win a huge scholarship off of coaching, definitely apply and send people the applications away. So appreciate you all. Really excited for this giveaway. Really excited to go through all of your applications. And I think that's it. So I will see you guys in the next one.